Welcome back, everybody. This is Mordechai Plaster, another night of learning. We're starting 2 minutes late, so hopefully we'll be able to make up lost time. Tonight's shiur is on Parshas Naso, and it's a continuation of the theme of the Sota, which had been under suspicion for committing something immoral and practicing infidelity. And I want to share with you a story that perhaps may highlight this in a favorable light. It's brought down that in the town of Berdichev, there once was a miser named Yafala who passed away, and the Chevra Kadisha tried to extract from the family a large amount of money in order to obtain a burial plot. But the relatives of this individual refused to provide that money, and so the people decided that they were going to go to Reb Levi Yitzchak, the Kedushas Levi, for his opinion, and whatever he says, they will uphold. So the people came to the tzaddik, and they came to the Kedushas Levi, and they said to him, they told him about all that had happened, and as soon as he heard that Yasla the miser passed away, he became very distraught, and he became very saddened, and he told the Chevra Kadisha and the rest of the people there two things. Number one, don't ask for anything more than the people are willing to give. Whatever they want to give toward the burial, that's what they should give, and not a penny more. And second, when he does have the levaya, he wanted to know about it and to be present. And sure enough, the following day was the levaya, and Reb Levi Yitzchak was right there in the front, escorting this mace, Yeslo the miser, outside of the town, into the burial plot. And because the Kedushas Levi came out to escort this individual from the covert of the Rav, the entire town came out of Berdichev, and they all came out to escort, together with Reb Levi Yitzchak, so he shouldn't be walking alone. And as a result, there was a great honor that was done to this Niftar, Yasla the miser. When the people came back from the Levaya, they asked the Kedushas Levi, why did he give such a great honor to this simple miser of a person? And the tzaddik, the Kedushas Levi, answered as follows. He said that this individual came before me three times with judgment for a din Torah, and each of these three occasions, he succeeded. He was zacha b'din, he was meritorious in judgment. And as a result of being meritorious in judgment three times, he deserves honor. So then, the Kedushas Levi began to explain to him the three dinei Torah. The first is as follows. There was a wine merchant, and what he would do is he was a wholesaler. He would go out to the storefronts and collect a lot of money from all of them. And he would take that money and he would go to the large cities, and then he would purchase wine. And afterwards, of course, he would return with this wine, and this is how he made a living. Well, there was one instance of when a certain wine merchant, we'll call him Avraham, he went into this big town and he thought he had a bag of money. And he turned around and the bag of money was lost. He couldn't find his satchel of money. And he became so distraught about it that he had a heart attack. And he went into some coma. And the doctors came and they tried to heal him, but they knew that there was nothing they can do. So long as this bag of money, or so long as his money was gone, he thought that he was as good as dead. And he woke up in the middle of this coma. The doctors told him that he has to take it easy, and he asked about the money, and they told him they don't have it. And sure enough, he went back into a deeper coma. And so this person now, Avram, was at a threshold of life and death, and he was really in a precarious situation. So at this moment, the voice went out, and they said that whoever finds this money, to please return as soon as possible, because we're dealing now with a case of life and death. And so this Yasla the miser heard about this, and he claimed that he was the one who found the bag of money or the satchel of money, and he brought back to the penny exactly what this person had lost. And as a result, the individual Avram got better, and all this while, there was another individual who really did find the money. It was misplaced, and he picked it up, and he saw this money, and he was convinced that he was allowed to keep this money. But he knew that there was something unusual, because as much as he convinced himself that he was going to hold on to the money, he was very overwhelmed by this individual who claimed to have found it. and paid this Avram guy back in full. And so it started to wear on this individual that eventually he had to come to terms and return this money. And so he went and sought out Yusel the miser in Berdichev, and he came to him and he told him the whole story. He said, "I want to make you whole. I know that you took this money out of your pocket, and I believe that this money really should be returned to you now. Please take it back." And Yusel the miser turned to him and said, "Lav bal divarim didiat. You're not even a man of means. Why? Because I was fortunate enough to do this mitzvah of saving a person's life that HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself had given to me. And I will never give up that zchus." And at the end, this individual was so adamant that he wanted to return the money to Yasel that he brought him before a din Torah, and they both argued their cases. One said, "I found the money, and it's for me to pay him back." The other one said, who was Yasla, he said, "You had the right to pay him back. You had the right to return the money when you found it. But since you delayed, I stood in, and I'm not required to accept anything from you." The Kedushas Levi ruled in favor of Yasla, and he did not accept the money from that individual. And that was the end of the first case. The second case involved a poor person, again from the town of Berdichev, that wanted to try his fortune outside of the city. But his wife always would come up with another reason why he shouldn't leave, because she was worried that he would not be successful and it would be a very difficult journey for him. Time had passed, and his wife, they heard about this certain wealthy individual that was looking for somebody to go into business with him. And at first the wife was hesitant, but then she gave in and said that she recognizes that it's for her own benefit. And the wealthy person promised that he was going to deliver every Thursday afternoon money to this storefront so she can go ahead and make purchases for Shabbos, and this would be in lieu or in payment for the work that her husband was doing. And so the husband goes away on this journey, and she then goes into the storefront, and the store owner says, "I have no idea what you're talking about. There was nobody who made any arrangement with me." And she really struggled every single week in order to just to scrape herself together, just to put food on the table. She borrowed from this person, borrowed from that person. And, on the third week, she came in and she said, "I can't continue this anymore." And she started to scream at the storefront owner. Well, sure, and lo and behold, next door to the storefront was this guy, Yasala. And he overheard the whole conversation. And he stepped in and he said, "I'm the one who promised to pay this woman this money on behalf of the work that her husband is doing for our joint business. And here's the money." And so he paid this woman the wages that she was promised that never would have materialized were you not there. And after a while, this man came back, and this poor person now turned into a wealthy person. And he comes and greets his wife. And his wife said, "Were it not for this man who lives down the road named Yasala, I never would have been able to survive." And the husband realized that it wasn't because of his supervisor or his boss, and it wasn't through him. It was really a miracle, because nobody would have been able to provide for his wife, even though the amount of money that was promised to her was way greater than what she had received. So he went looking for him, and he found him, and he told him that he wanted to pay him back. And he explained to him the same words. He said, "I have done this mitzvah that I gave it over to your wife as a gift, and as a gift, you're not required to give me back anything in return." So they went to a din Torah, and of course, it went in his favor. And the third story is a very short one, where in the same town of Berdichev, there was a poor person who looked to get a loan just to get his life started and to borrow some money in order to start a business. And he came to Yasla and he said to him, "Can you help me out?" And Yasla said, "What collateral can you pledge?" And the poor person answered, he says, "I give my collateral ala batucha shabala bitachon. I give it on that his faith is in the full faith of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. that Hashem will make him successful. As soon as Yossel heard this, he gave over the money without any question. And of course, this person became wealthy as a result, and he wanted to give it back to him. And he said to him, I'm not going to take anything from you because you've already leveraged, or your collateral is really from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and there's no way that I was going to get involved. There's no way I can get involved. The Baal HaBitachon, this Baal HaBitachon has already given me the means to give you, so therefore there's nothing I can possibly extract from you in return. And so when we talk about suspicion, we're reminded of these three stories. And at that point, all of the people in the town of Berditch recognized that Yosla the miser was really Yosla, a great tzaddik and a wonderful person that did so much for so many other people. And so when we see this story of the Kedushas Levi and suspicion, we're reminded that the Torah gives us instruction that after a woman is vindicated of her suspicion, she is then required to offer a sacrifice, which would be two doves. And the question is, why these two doves? And the answer is that just as she was faithful before marriage, so too she was faithful during the marriage, and she'll always be faithful to her husband, just like the dove. That the dove is faithful to its mate, and once it recognizes its mate, it never changes from its mate. And the dove always symbolizes to the Jewish people fidelity and peacefulness. And so this is the lesson plan that we learn from this beautiful dove that Rabbi Akiva had commented in the Midrash Tanchuma and Parsha Shemot. He said, why are the Jewish people compared to a bird, to this dove? And just as a bird cannot fly without wings, so too our nation can't stand without its zakenim, and so too our nation cannot survive unless, of course, we have the Torah on our side. And since the dove is comparable to the Jewish people, that it's like they say wings of a dove, we know that the dove can actually fly with one wing, which means that even though the nations of the world need both a culture and a land, the dove can fly just on its culture alone and without being attached to a land. But since Baruch Hashem we do have a land now, we have a land of Eretz Yisrael which we're free to visit whenever we wish, which is a tremendous bracha from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we also have to recognize that as well. And so the bracha that we can extend this evening is that sometimes there is a suspicion. However, as we discussed, Vayachshuvah, the word Vayachshuvah comes into the Torah three times, and each time it involves children, and the result is that Vayechana and Eli and came out prophets, and Vayehuda and Tamar came out kings. And so if there's any suspicion, hopefully it should turn itself around for the positive, for the benefit of Klal Yisrael. And in that regard, hopefully we should only have the Surah Tovos and good things for all of us, each and every day, each and every week, and the months and the weeks to follow. This is Mordechai Plotzker wishing everyone a Tzlacha Bracha and learning. Mordechai Willing will be the closeout share for Parshas Naso. Please join us at 9:50 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.